Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey friends, and welcome to another episode of Now Hear This, Canby. I'm James. I get to read the news around here. Let's get into it. After a year off due to the coronavirus pandemic, the Clackamas County Fair and Canby Rodeo are finally back. The Clackamas County Fair Board unanimously voted to move forward with the beloved annual traditions in June. And though a dizzying and unexpected surge in new coronavirus infections this summer fueled by the highly contagious new Delta variant has dampened some people's enthusiasm for large events, even those, like the fair, that are held primarily outdoors, organizers held firm. "We all voted to go ahead with this in June," Board President Gary Linton said at a kickoff event held at the fairgrounds Saturday evening. "And we have faced some challenges in the past few weeks, but by golly, we are going to have a fair and rodeo this year." Instead, determined staff and hundreds of local volunteers worked hard to produce in 2 months an event that typically takes 10 to 12. All of the classic fair elements are there, including 4-H events, animals, art exhibits, live music, and other entertainment, rides, and food. After more than a year without the fair or any of the other large events that typically characterize life in Canby, thousands of area residents flocked to this one, marketing and event coordinator Tyler Neiser said. "People were really wanting to come back and support the fair," Neiser said. "Our numbers are up about 40% for the rodeo and fair combined." The weather, unusually cool for mid-August, especially this summer, provided a huge boost, organizers believe. The animals, like any other athlete, perform better in the cool weather, and they did not disappoint, said rodeo board member Todd Gary. The rodeo, which takes place every night of the fair, did not sell out, but hosted what he described as a really good Tuesday night crowd. "You could tell the enthusiasm was high," Gary said. "It was awesome. Anytime you have 20 world champions there with 35 world championships between them, you know it's going to be a good rodeo. Now that we've got our first one under our belts, we're excited for the week ahead. We're ready to rodeo." While some attendees expressed dismay at high food prices and the absence of the carnival bracelets that typically allow parents to satisfy their children's thirst for rides and games without taking out a second mortgage, most hailed the fair as a welcome return to some semblance of normalcy after the chaos of last year. "I had a great time with my kiddos," said Canby resident Aaron Kuda. "The little ones squealed with delight seeing the animals. The older one was taken by the experience of mining for gold at Pioneer Village. Well, we ran into so many friends, and it was great to see so many in our community out and about." "I like that they moved the hobby hall stuff downstairs this year," agreed Samantha Lynn, a mother of four. "Overall, my kids just loved being back at the fair. It felt like a normal summer again." Damon Donner hailed the return of fair food and all of the traditional favorites that go along with it. "I got my first elephant ear in 2 years," Donner said. "Too bad there were some booths and acts not there that normally are, but we understand. And hopefully all normal acts and booths will be back next year. Thank you for having the fair." For Ashley Lowry, the rodeo was the highlight. "The rodeo was the absolute best thing ever," she explained. 20 world champions. The fair was so nice to be back to normal, but it was a little sad how much smaller it was compared to previous years. Definitely looking forward to next year when our barns are full, more entertainment, and hopefully ride bracelets. It was amazing, Canby resident Linda Tate said of the overall event. What they did in 2 months showed their dedication to us all. I very much appreciated the effort. The event runs through Saturday, and each day has a different theme for discounts. Wednesday was Senior Citizen Day, where admission is only $2 for anyone 65 and older, as well as any accompanying grandchildren 12 and younger. On Thursday, entry is free for everyone until 3 p.m., and on Friday, tickets are free for all first responders, veterans, and service members. Hours are 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on weekdays and 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. this weekend. For more information, you can visit clackamascountyfair.com/fair. For photos of this year's fair and rodeo, you can visit our website, canbyfirst.com, or follow the Canby Current on Facebook and Instagram. The Clackamas County Fair and Canby Rodeo weren't the only local annual events that came back with a bang this year. The related, but much lesser known, Cowboy Shoot returned to the Canby Rod and Gun Club Wednesday morning, pairing rodeo cowboys, stock contractors, and other folks from the Canby Rodeo crew with club members for a friendly trap shooting competition that raises money for a local scholarship fund. The Canby tradition, which celebrated its 10th year this week, appears to be a unique one on the National Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, that's the PRCA circuit. I rodeoed professionally myself for a number of years, and we were always doing golf tournaments, tennis tournaments, things like that, explains longtime Canby Rodeo board member A.J. Swain, who organized the Cowboy Shoot with his wife, Dee. They just took forever. When I retired, we were going to find things to do for our annual scholarship fundraiser, and we had the idea of a trap shoot. For the cowboys, it's a fun and entertaining day, something different than the daily grind, and for the members, it's a chance to meet and participate with the rodeo industry. The event pairs 24 local members who pay the $175 entrance fee with an equal number from the Canby Rodeo Orbit, including names most folks would recognize from announcer Wayne Brooks and Keith Merrington, stock contractor for the famous Calgary Stampede Ranch, to the rodeo queen and court and rodeo clown, J.J. Harrison. He's actually getting pretty good, Swain admits of Harrison, who has been a mainstay of the Canby Rodeo for years. He actually gets better every year. While a competitive trap shoot, much like a golf tournament, normally demands silence from onlookers to allow for maximum concentration, those rules do not apply at the cowboy shoot. Oh, it's cowboy rules, Swain says with a laugh. No whining, no complaining, but you can talk and heckle all you want. This year's shoot offered more than the usual double-barreled excitement, ending in a thrilling shoot-off between the two top-performing teams with rodeo pickup man Mitch Coleman of Coleman Ranch in Mooloolah and local nurseryman Lloyd Russell being named the winning duo. The shoot is the Canby Rodeo Association's largest fundraiser for the Scholarship Fund, which offers college and vocational scholarships of up to $2,500 to worthy local students, typically raising between $6,000 and $7,000, Swain says. The Canby Rod and Gun Club donates the birds, shells, and the use of the facilities, while the Canby Builder Supplies provides lunch. And the event has become so popular with professional cowboys on the circuit that Swain says other rodeos have called to ask him how they might start something similar in their communities. It's a fun afternoon, and it's good for the community of Canby, Swain says. The Gun Club loves doing it. Some folks even wanted to do it last year without the cowboys, but that just wouldn't have been the same. Oregon Governor Kate Brown on Tuesday told school leaders that one of the few sure ways to keep students out of the classroom come fall is for teachers, families, and school boards to defy the state's indoor mask mandate. I have heard much about personal freedom when it comes to masks in school board meetings and on social media, Brown said in the statement. I have not heard as much about personal responsibility. As leaders, we have a great responsibility to our students and their futures. Brown acknowledged that Oregon's once solid plans to open every school for full-time in-person learning are growing less ironclad, particularly given record transmission rates in some counties. Her remarks acknowledged the still small but likely growing odds that some schools may need to pivot back to distance learning come the fall. The governor cited rising COVID-19 cases statewide and nationally fueled by the highly transmissible Delta variant, which led to a surge of pediatric cases in one New Orleans hospital before local officials adopted their own masking rule. One of the small mercies of this pandemic was that children did not seem as susceptible to severe cases of COVID-19 from the original strain of the virus, Brown said. The frustrating reality is that the virus has mutated, and so we must again adapt our strategies to protect Oregon's kids. The governor's reprimand comes as school board meetings around the state have at times devolved into shouting matches over the governor's July 29th order that all students, staff, and visitors, regardless of vaccination status, must mask up inside public and private schools when classes resume later this month. In the Redmond district, the five-person school board is considering a resolution to defy the mask rule. A packed crowd cheered as board member Michael Summer read the text aloud, the Bend Bulletin reported. In the rural Yamhill-Carlton district, Superintendent Clint Raver lamented Brown's late July order, telling parents in an email he was disappointed with the decision. "We strongly feel decisions on COVID-19 mitigation efforts should be made at the local level with input from our local public health authority," he wrote. Leaders in other jurisdictions are standing up to public pressure. In Grants Pass, district officials have told the local ABC affiliate that they will not risk their teachers' credentials by defying state orders despite parents' pleas for them to do so. Josephine County has among the highest case rate per capita in the nation, according to the New York Times. The county of about 59,000 residents reported 361 new cases over the weekend, and its 7-day average is 118. Meanwhile, the Oregon agencies that monitor workplace safety and certify the state's educators will be the tip of the spear in the state's enforcement in schools. The Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration can issue fines of up to $12,675 per day, or $250 per infraction, if employers fail to protect employees from the virus by not enforcing masking rules, according to the Oregon Department of Education. Meanwhile, educators who flout the state's masking rule may run afoul of the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, which may suspend or revoke their licenses. Typically, the agency issues what it calls a reprimand or a public citation spelling out the educator's misdeeds for minor offenses after an investigation period that takes months. Those citations can include a warning of more dire consequences for subsequent reoffense. The outbursts and defiance against Oregon's mask mandate come even as the state's hospitals come close to breaking point as intensive care beds fill up with new record number of COVID-19 patients and Delta pushes statewide case rates to the highest levels since the pandemic began. As of Monday, the state has seen 6 consecutive weeks of rising cases. Oregon posted an average of 1,820 cases per day last week, a new high. Flouting mask requirements will put everything we have worked towards in the last year at risk, Brown said. Without the universal wearing of masks in our schools, the Delta variant will spread. Oregon homeowners are safeguarded against losing their homes to foreclosure until the end of this year under an extension Governor Kate Brown announced on Monday. Brown said she lengthened the moratorium on residential foreclosures until December 31, 2021, under the provisions of a bill passed by lawmakers earlier this year. This moratorium prevents Oregonians who own their homes from losing their homes to foreclosure if they have lost income and been unable to pay their mortgage during the COVID-19 pandemic, according to her statement. The ban would have expired at the end of next month. As we continue to see record high numbers of COVID-19 hospitalizations driven by the Delta surge, I am committed to ensuring that Oregonians have a warm, dry, safe place to live during this pandemic, Brown said. Extending the temporary residential foreclosure moratorium another 3 months will prevent removal of Oregonians from their homes by foreclosure, which would result in serious health, safety, welfare, and financial consequences and would undermine key efforts to prevent the spread of COVID-19. The governor's office said that the extension would relieve mortgagers who are leasing real estate to tenants, giving them the flexibility to work with those who struggle to pay rent. These protections are necessary as Oregon continues to deploy federal financial relief both for Oregonians who rent and for Oregonians who own their homes, including the Emergency Rental Assistance Program and the Home Ownership Assistance Fund, both of which are in the initial stages of deployment, the statement said. Oregonians who have fallen behind on their mortgages during the pandemic are encouraged to contact a housing counselor in their community. Housing counselors are knowledgeable, dedicated professionals who can help homeowners explore their best options for keeping their homes. Similar protections are also in place for renters and tenants at OregonRentalAssistance.org. A 60-day safe harbor period is currently in effect statewide that bars eviction for non-payment of rent. In Multnomah County, the safe harbor period is 90 days. The safe harbor period for each tenant begins when they provide their landlords with proof that they have applied for rental assistance. Tenants who are behind on their rent or utilities or who may need help paying for current or future month's rent may apply. The program is offered to all eligible renters regardless of immigration status. If a tenant has received an eviction proceeding notice, they should consult with a lawyer as quickly as possible. No-cost or low-cost legal services may be available. For more information on the end of Oregon's eviction moratorium and protections for Oregon's renters, you can visit OregonLawHelp.org. Renters can also contact 211 or 211info.org to be linked to their local program administrator.
Hey James, what's going on with the internet? The Wi-Fi is all spotty.
Well, is it your internet or the Wi-Fi?
What are you talking about? Aren't they the same thing?
Well, kind of, but no. You see, your home or office accesses the internet through underground fiber cables from DirectLink. It's actually your Wi-Fi router that converts that internet connection into an over-the-air signal for all your wireless devices.
Okay, you lost me at kind of?
Why do we even try? Look, you have seen like a box-looking device around the studio here. It's probably hidden under, it's under a thick layer of dust.
No, I don't. Oh, wait, is it that blinky flashy thing behind the stack of old pizza boxes?
Yeah, yes, it's the blinky flashy thing. That's the Wi-Fi equipment that connects your iPad, your PlayStation, and the laptop to the internet.
I bought that off Craigslist like 8 years ago.
Frankie, I think we just found your problem. Your Wi-Fi equipment is ancient. Electronics, they get old fast. And even when new software updates or faster broadband comes out, your old router just can't keep up. It's like expecting a Model T to outpace those new F-150 Lightnings.
Great. So now I have to make Tyler go buy, I have to go buy a whole new Wi-Fi setup? How does he, I even know what to get?
Look, I'm gonna make it simple. Just call DirectLink, man. Their professional grade Wi-Fi equipment is super affordable and they'll manage the updates and the network security for you. They'll even help you install your new router in the perfect spot to get the strongest possible signal. You can visit directlink.coop/Wi-Fi to get started.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to make Tyler call DirectLink today.
Hi, I'm Megan Waterman. I'm the owner and operator of the Book Nook in Canby, Oregon.
And I'm Tyler Clausen of Now Hear This Canby, the show you're listening to. Megan, the Book Nook is one of my favorite places in all of Canby. It's a one-stop shop for gifts, board games, new books, used books, and books from local authors. Why did you decide to open it?
Well, I love the power of a story. I love how reading about different people and places, times, stretches my mind. It makes me see the world differently, whether that's a fantasy story or a biography. It all changes the lens that I see and how I interact with people. The reason that we added games to our store is for that same reason. It's just a different way to experience story through gameplay.
And along with new selection, you're at a new location, right?
We are. We just moved, technically just across the intersection to the old Parsons building. We've expanded our space and also our selection. So we've got more books, more gifts. We added a larger gaming section. And now with the world opening back up a little bit more, we're starting to relaunch some of our events. We have relaunched our general fiction and our fantasy book clubs, and those are going great. And we're about ready to kick off game nights, starting with our beginner Dungeons & Dragons camp, led by Camby's very own Tyler Clausen.
Hey, that's me! If you're interested in D&D, make sure you stop by the Book Nook and get more information about role-playing opportunities there.
Yeah, or stop by anytime and chat with one of our booksellers about their current book recommendations and let us help you find your next favorite read. We're now open on Sundays as well, so we're there 7 days a week.
Nice. The Book Nook is in downtown Camby or online at booknookcamby.com.
Well, on the Camby Conversation today, we're thrilled to be speaking with Dr. Aaron Downs. He is the new superintendent of the Camby School District. The wind picked up just in time for, for my intro there. But welcome, Dr. Downs. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So you are, you've worked in schools for a long time. You've worked in leadership positions and high levels in the administration. You were assistant superintendent at Wilsonville West Lynn. How does this experience so far compare? Your first couple of months, all the million things to do, the million things to learn, and things keep changing. What has that been like just as a person and a human?
Well, thanks for the question. I think, you know, for me, actually, it's exciting. I think starting this new journey, I was just really looking forward to stepping into the Camby community.
Yeah.
And my experiences in education, honestly, I think have helped prepare me for this role. Mm. It was never my goal to become a superintendent.
Okay.
I was happy teaching.
Yeah.
I love being in a classroom. My heart is still there.
Interesting.
But you know, some good colleagues and mentors said, hey, we want you to consider doing administration. And so, you know, I ended up becoming the principal at Wilsonville High School. Mm. And then after that, spent the last 6 years as assistant superintendent in the Wilsonville District. And so I am just so thankful because those experiences have shaped and helped to prepare me for this complex role. To me, it's exciting. It's excellent. It's, you know, education is such a powerful thing that we have an opportunity to, as a community, wrap around. And I think for me, I just have always enjoyed you know, changing of the roles too. This is a big deal. I didn't apply anywhere else. Tyler, I didn't. I was pretty content in my old role. But honestly, I was drawn to Camby. I was drawn to the community. And so the first couple of months have been a whirlwind. I think some of my colleagues here that I get to work with say, in some ways, it feels like I've been here a while. But that, I take that as a compliment because we've been doing a lot of good work this summer. I think in central offices, summer tends to be a really busy time. Preparing for school, hiring staff.
It's not a downtime for you.
Not a downtime for us. And so, you know, that's exciting. This is it's fun for me. I think you got to enjoy what you're doing. You know, a friend of mine told me right before I took this job, you know, life is short, work with cool people. And I think I'm doing that. So I want us to have a positive approach here, try to have a joyful approach. I really believe that we take the job seriously, but not ourselves. And so hopefully, if you know, you talk to staff, they would say that that's been their experience so far working with me.
And to that end, I mean, this morning we're recording this on Tuesday when the fair kicked off, and I saw you and some of your team out there at the Kitty Capers Parade.
That's right.
Wearing tie-dye t-shirts, I believe.
That's right. We were wearing some Camby school district shirts, and it was just super fun. We had a
right
bunch
at
of,
the front, pretty nearly leading the thing.
You know, I didn't know about that placement. So what a cool event. And it led right into the fair and you know, giving candy out. Come on. You know, how do you beat that? But to see all the, you know, these are our students. Lots of kids. And then, you know, what was really cool is it led right into the fair. And then I had an opportunity to go meet a number of our students that are participating in the fair and showing animals and putting together different booths and displays. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the passion the excitement that they have, the hard work,
yes,
the stress, yeah, of showing something. It's, yeah, like, whoa, my goodness. So, yeah.
And they're high stakes. Some of those yeah, auction animals go for a lot of money. Yeah. Yeah.
So it was just neat to see our students in action, because you and I know that they're busy.
Yeah.
And we want them to be busy and, yeah, and doing things. So that was a great, great morning and a great example of what maybe attracted me to Canby.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to be a part of the that parade was super fun.
Yeah.
And it was great to see all these people on the route. And mm-hmm, it was a great morning, too. It wasn't too warm for everyone.
So. Yes, yes, thankfully.
Yeah.
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 It was, I know this wasn't intentional anyway, but it was kind of an interesting metaphor of the school district, you know, at the lead and then leading all of our kids,
yeah,
you know, into the fairgrounds. That metaphor kind of breaks down at that
exactly
point.
That's exactly how we planned it.
That's how we do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Ian, you talked about this a little bit as well, but, you know, the education piece is just so important within the community as a piece of its foundation and its strength, you know, and, We see it, you know, school board meetings and things, some of the fiery comments and things, yeah, that are coming out and people feeling really fired up about things. And I just try to remember and hope people remember that's because this stuff matters to people, yeah, right? That's because, yeah, it's important. We all, whether we agree on or disagree on certain, you know, elements or certain things, we all agree that this is important and that it matters. And that's, yeah, where some of that fire comes from.
Yeah.
Before we, you know, talk more recently and about Canby School District, I'd love to hear just a little bit more about your background in education and maybe, yeah, how you got into, it sounds like it started with teaching.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I, you know, somewhere along the way in high school, I think I looked at some of my teachers and thought, my goodness, that looks like a fun, mm, job to be able to work with kids and to make a difference and be a part of their story. And be a positive influence.
Yeah.
And so I always thought, my goodness, I may consider that. And then I ended up, you know, graduating and hopped into business for a couple years,
okay,
because just an opportunity.
Yeah.
Even though I had my teaching degree,
okay,
and my wife was like 2 years
what
in.
What are we doing?
My wife's like, you please need to get into teaching because, yeah, you're that's where your heart is. And,
yeah,
so the moment I jumped into teaching, I never looked back. And, you know, I've been blessed. Like I said, I've enjoyed every step along the way. And it's taught me so much. I think that for me, it's about the relationship. So everywhere I've gone, it's about building relationships. And so I'm super excited that, you know, that I can make this shift now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I loved being a teacher and getting to know students, getting to know their families, getting to know them as learners.
Yeah.
You know, I have high expectations of myself and,
yeah,
and of others, and I feel like, you know, we definitely have a chance to make a difference for kids, and I think that's excited me again along every step of the way. So I've been a high school teacher, I was a high school administrator, mm-hmm, high school principal, so I was an assistant principal, then a principal, and then the last 6 years I spent time at the central office level,
yeah,
and really getting a chance to work with every aspect of a school district,
yeah,
which was so cool.
Yeah.
You know, so my eyes were open to,
yeah,
I oversaw our operations and facilities team. I, yeah, oversaw middle and high schools. We,
yeah,
built a new school. We did new boundaries. We are helping to redesign high schools and what should be in a high school. And so I've had these unique experiences over the last few years that just have been really, really professionally rewarding.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I wanted to take the next step here in,
yeah,
terms of to work in a local school district that I think people are passionate and care.
Yeah.
I think we have passionate professionals and that work in our schools. I think we have passionate community members, and we do know that we all work together to make this a really, really strong partnership. And,
yeah,
so I've enjoyed getting to know a lot of our community partners these last 2 months, and they seem to be just super supportive.
Yeah.
And excited. We have some plans to kind of keep connected with all of our partners.
Nice.
And to say, you know, what do you need from the district? What does the district need from,
yeah,
you? And so it's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with 3 realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime. I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me. Three generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? We have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Over 70 years ago, a seed was planted in the rich, fertile soil of North Canby. The seed was Swan Island dahlias, and today it has blossomed and grown into the largest leading dahlia grower on planet Earth. Family owned and operated, Swan Island is one of Oregon's premier agrotourism destinations, boasting 375 varieties and 40 acres of gorgeous blooms. A sea of color that is among the most jaw-dropping and unforgettable sights in the entire Pacific Northwest. While their fields and annual Dahlia Festival justifiably get a lot of attention, Swan Island has a lot of amenities you may not know about. Their selection of gifts, gardening supplies, and other unique finds is among the most expansive in Canby area, and their fresh-cut flower shop, it's always worth stopping for. This summer, Swan Island is featuring a rotating menu of delicious food trucks Thursday through Sunday and a wide variety of fun classes for all interests and ability levels. The Dahlia Farm will also be hosting a local farmer's market every Friday and live music shows through September. Swan Island and their amazing dahlia fields are open 6 days a week, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., closed Wednesdays. For class registration, concert schedule, or more information, visit dahlias.com or follow Swan Island Dahlias on Facebook and Instagram.
I'd love to go back to something you've mentioned a couple times, and it was something I was going to ask you about anyway, just because I want people to understand this. This is actually a little bit unusual for your name to turn out as a finalist in the superintendent, and you'd only applied for this job. Yeah. That's not as common. You know, you see folks kind of looking for superintendent jobs, and they show up in different searches, not to disparage that in any way. They're looking for a good job and a good position where they fit. But you were only looking at Canby. Tell us why.
You know, again, I'll be honest, I think something has been attractive. I'm a local Clackamas County kid. You know, I grew up going to the Canby Fair, spent time with my parents. We would come out here for you know, Sunday drives and lunches, and just had some affinity, had some friends that have lived out here, worked out here, spoken very highly of the community. And so I had that attraction. And then when the position came open, I did my research. I wanted to see, you know, where the school district was at, what are they working on, what are they focused on, where are they going, and what's the community doing. And so I was attracted to it and then decided to put my name in. And just felt really blessed and humbled, to be honest, to get this. And it has been, you know, it's been good and busy. It's been a real healthy busy, but preparing to open up for school for next year, it's exciting and it's a lot of good work. There's a lot of moving parts, and we take it very seriously. And as you can probably see, some of the, you know, we're doing some major construction this summer. Thank you to the Canby community for this amazing bond. We take that serious. We want to make sure we show the citizens of Canby that we're using their bond dollars excellent. And I think we're very excited because things are looking good, and we're working hard. You know, again, in the central office, we do a lot of hiring in the summer.
Right.
We had a really good opportunity to bring in some new staff to our building. So
nice.
We're going to have over 40 new teachers in the Canby School District
next
year. That doesn't mean new hires. These aren't like additional teachers, but, you know, replacing teachers who've retired or resigned and, you know. But we have a chance to really welcome them into the community and help build a collective vision to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that was an excellent seg, Dr. Downs. Thank you for bringing up the reopening, because that's obviously a big topic of conversation something that people want to know more about. Can you give us, obviously, this is a huge thing, as you mentioned, and a huge part of your job, and it's just kind of funny. It's like, hey, welcome to Canby. Here's this, you know, enormously heavy lift for you. can you give us maybe like a broad view or a 30,000-foot view of what all is going into reopening schools for this academic year and what that kind of looks like?
Yeah, you know, for me, I'm local, meaning I've been around the state. I know, and have statewide connections and local Clackamas County connections. So that's been really nice to not have to like learn something new.
Yeah.
I understand the dynamics. I think we are not alone, number one, in how we're prepping and planning for the year, which is kind of nice. For me, I am committed to making sure that our kids have an amazing year. I really want them to have an incredible school year. You know, none of us drew up the last, you know, year and a half of our lives, personally or professionally.
Right.
None of us drew that
up.
And so we're working together to try to make sure that our kids have great academic opportunities next year. And so when we're talking about our planning, we're trying to make sure that we are ready to meet them out. We're, you know, working with, my job is to help work with principals to help clear the way for teachers to have incredible classroom experiences for kids.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're focusing on this summer.
Yeah.
And so the big lift there is to, how do you bring in some lessons learned? We did have some things that we've learned over the last
year
and a half
that
we are going to build in that probably will forever change some of our practice as educators. And then there's also some things that we don't want to return to, you know, and that's okay too. And I think spending some time knowing what those things are important. I think it's something we've talked about. I think one of the things, you know, we keep, you know, in this world right now, and you personally experience it too, Frankie. I mean, we all do.
Yeah.
You know, you plan for something.
Yeah.
And then you also are thinking about contingency plans.
Yeah.
Like there's this concept of, you know, we're going to move in this direction, but we have to be somewhat nimble.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I do always remain student-centered. And so I always want to ask, well, how will this impact our kids, and what will it mean to our kids? And so I'm super excited about kind of remaining focused about that. I think there are challenges, but I also have hope. And I also want to instill that hope in others. And is it going to be perfect? No. Are we going to work really hard to make it the best experience? Yes. And we also want to, you know, our kids deserve this. Our kids deserve an incredible year. And we want to, you know, kind of meet them and celebrate. We want to see them and welcome them back together.
Yeah.
You know, our 7th through 12th is all going to start on the same day this year, on the 30th. You know, we've traditionally had a 7th grade only day and a 9th grade only day.
Right.
We value that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've had some of our kids have not been in school for over a year and a half.
Yeah.
So we just decided this year we wanted to bring everyone back. Let's
go big.
Yeah. Let's go big and welcome them back.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you've already given us definitely a taste of this, and this is a little bit more of a boilerplate question, but I want to ask you about your philosophy as a superintendent, how you kind of approach that job, and maybe with a little bit of a focus, as you've already mentioned, on kind of the partnership aspect as far as outside organizations, working with the school board, things like that. How do you kind of approach that role?
Yeah. Thank you. You know,
so far 2 months in, right?
Well, but that's, you know, I can talk about my previous experience too. So
yeah.
For me, it is about building strong, mutually beneficial relationships together to make a difference for kids. You know, my belief and one of my core beliefs is that students don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
So I could have a lot of really good content in my head and say I can teach your kids right now.
Right.
But if they don't think I care about them, they don't really care about that content. Or they'll say, I'll find that somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I think as educators, we want to make sure we let people know that we care first.
Yeah.
And so the best educators that I have worked with, they know their content really well. And they are amazing with kids. And they care about kids, they listen, but they're also really good with adults.
Yeah.
And they know how to be a good community member, how to be a good staff member, how to work well with parents, how to get back to people, how to be a good communicator. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, the best educators are the ones who have all three of that together. And so I get excited thinking about how to influence that on a system-wide basis. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we bring people into Canby, recruit, retain, get people excited? I want people to have joy working with our kids. I want them to enjoy professional. I want them to have the best professional year of their life.
Yeah.
You know, have just this excitement as they're driving into work, thinking, I got to work with our kids in the Canby community. And so that's kind of my at the core of who I am. I think that we need to work hard to provide great, rigorous academic experiences for kids.
Yeah.
I believe that we need to do more hands-on activities and get kids leaning into their work. I want our seniors to ask as many questions as a first grader does. Mm. And I want, when kids leave, for them to be happy, healthy, and confident, to know that, like, they have a plan.
Yeah.
Like I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the next adventure, whatever that is. And so every step along the way, I view this big K-12 school piece as a big game of Jenga.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so worried about if we pull something out, that may crumble it for a kid.
Yeah.
And so how do we carefully protect that all the way through to be successful?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a little bit of a,
I like it.
Of a glimpse of what goes on in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. And I especially like what you were kind of talking about with teachers as far as the professional development, because I feel like teachers know how to teach. Like, you know, that's one thing. It's in the name, right? Yeah. But I mean, like, you're going to have much fewer gains going to a math teacher and trying to improve their math teaching that they already know how to do, whereas maybe they lack some of those people skills or whatnot, or maybe that is where you can really see some gains. It's just helping share some techniques as far as that goes. So,
And what I can share in my short time is we have some incredible educators in our district, and we have a lot of great knowledge and institutional background here, and there's so many people that are connected here, and I love that. In fact, that is exciting to me. It's what I was attracted before, but now that I'm in the position, I'm really kind of excited about that, because I see people's passion. I think, to answer the second part of your question around partnerships, I genuinely believe that that's how communities grow stronger. Mm-hmm. When we unite together and we work together, we share the same families.
Yeah.
We, you know, have the same experiences. We know people.
Yeah.
I think that just makes that's just an incredible experience. I think even today's example at the parade, there were so many connections that I've met with several of our community partners in the first couple weeks of the job. We just sat down and we had one-on-one conversations and said, hey, you know, tell me about tell me about Kiwanis Club here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm using them because of the parade today.
Right, right.
But that was a great example.
Yeah.
So out of that, you know, our district office was able to participate and work with kids today to do that. So these partnerships are super important to me.
Yeah.
I look forward to continuing our work with our school board, who, you know, one of their asks of me when I was hired was to get better connected with the community.
Yeah.
And so, and to do it quickly. And so I'm working really hard on that.
Yeah.
And, I think my style is, you know, and you asked about working with the board or working with community partners, is I want to be transparent.
Yeah.
I want to be accessible. I want to be communicating early and often with folks. And so, you know, it's something that sometimes is difficult to do in the spirit of everything's flying 100 miles an hour and you're always working on things.
Yeah.
But I think at the root of it all, when you have trust in the community, I think it goes a long way.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, my last question for you, Dr. Downs, is any goals that you have in your new job? And we've talked, I feel, a lot about kind of larger goals and kind of your larger sense of how you want to enact and fulfill your role. But do you have any, you know, narrow the focus a little bit, do you have any sort of specific, very tangible goals that you, you know, you came right in and said, okay, we need to do this, this, and this?
Yeah. You know, anytime you're new to a system, you know, I think you need to ask a lot of good questions.
Yeah.
And so for me, this year is going to be a year of learning and a year of listening.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my goals is to be to take what I listen and to take my own experiences and bring them together and help to build some specific goals.
Okay.
Together. I will
Fair
say
enough.
This. I have, well, you know, it's not that I don't, if I see something that we need to, you know, kind of correct now, we'll work on
But it is good to get the lay of the land before you
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I want to understand how and why we've done something the way we have.
Yeah.
And I will say, I do have a goal. I want to meet every person in our district personally this year and say hello and introduce myself. Wow. And, you know, and I'm also committed to spending a lot of time in our schools. Mm. I want to be in classrooms.
Yeah.
I want to hear what our kids are experiencing. I want to hear what our teachers and staff are experiencing. So,
yeah.
Those are some pretty two tangible goals that I have.
Awesome. Well, Dr. Downs, that's all the questions I have for you. Thank you so much for taking time out to talk to me today. Do you have anything else that you'd like to share or say before you go?
I just appreciate this opportunity, and it was great to see you in the parade today.
Yeah, awesome. You too. Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or that baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.